Good, yeah, afternoon. I was just trying to figure that out. So, you guys have a handout coming your way. And what I want to talk about today is holiness. You know, and Dave kind of touched on it earlier when he talked about, you know, justification, sanctification, glorification. And I just think that this is one of those things that's really important for us to understand. And, you know, I've talked about it before in church, and it just, for me personally, you know, I grew up in church. I went to church ever since I can remember. And this idea that there was a second work of grace, as some people call it, right? A moving on to righteousness beyond just your salvation was revolutionary to me when I heard it. You know, I didn't hear it. I mean, like I said, I grew up in church, and I didn't hear it until I was a teenager. And I remember when I first heard it, I said, how come nobody ever told me this before? You know? And so, just to me personally, this is one of those things that I really have a heart for. And what I want to do this morning, since this is a class setting and not a sermon setting, is you've got this handout, and I just have a ton of scripture on there. And I want to just kind of go through that together this morning and show you why holiness or sanctification is so important to us in a scriptural setting. And so we're going to work our way through it. But let's pray together. Dear God, I thank you, Lord, for who you are. God, I thank you that we have your word to learn from, and we know that it's truth. I thank you, God, that we're saved by faith, by believing in you, by trusting in you, and accepting the blood of Jesus Christ as the payment for our sins, and that we're not saved by anything that we do, because we could never be saved that way. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you've given that grace to us freely, and that, God, now I just pray that you would open your word to us and just help us to see and hear you clearly, God, to come to a greater understanding together, Lord, so that we may work together for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And so as we talk about holiness, what I want to, I kind of made a little outline here, and I actually have why is holiness important before what is holiness, which seems kind of odd, right? That we would talk about why something's important before we actually talk about what something is. But I think it's necessary for us to understand why we need to understand it before we try to understand it. Okay? Like, if we did not need to eat food, what would be our incentive to find out what food is? And because we need, and we're going to show that we need holiness and sanctification in our lives as Christians, then we're going to go on to talk about what it is. And so we have some scripture here. We're going to go through these fairly quickly. And that's why I've written them down for you, because I didn't want you to have to try to write them all down as we were going through, but we're just going to read through them. I don't know if we're going to read through every single thing on this sheet, but you have it in front of you, so you can go through it yourself. We talked about the 20-20 rule with Pastor Jeff. We're not going to do that this morning. But I encourage you to do that on your own. So why is holiness important? And there's only one subtopic. Because God calls us to be holy. This is why holiness is important. And we're going to look at this. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. He says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming, As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Okay, so we're looking at scripture where Peter is then quoting scripture to let us know that God calls us to be holy. Okay, and it's one of those things that, you know, when you're a kid and your parents tell you to do something, you ask why, and they say, because I said so. And you're like, that's not a good enough reason. Right? Because you know your parents are imperfect and flawed. But when God says, do it because I said so, that's a pretty good reason. Because God is perfect and holy and righteous. And he calls us to be like him. You know? And I think sometimes we kind of think of that like, oh, that's kind of impossible, right? But we're going to talk a little bit more about the power of the Holy Spirit in that. But why is holiness important? Well, because God calls us to that. He calls us to be holy as he is holy. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 7 and 8. He says, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. And so if you say, I don't care about being holy, I don't care about being sanctified, he says, you're not like, that's no slap in my face that I'm teaching your holiness class. You know, that's a slap in God's face. Because God says, be holy, and you're like, I don't care what you want, God. You know? And it's important for us to follow God's teaching because he wants what's best for us. And when we turn against it, we thumb our nose at a holy God. Okay? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to read 6:14 through 7:1. And some monks spent a lot of time somewhere putting in these chapter and verses, and we're going to ignore them. Okay? So it says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. God calls us to be holy, and he says, you know, you can't be spending your life balancing what I want with what the world wants. You can't be trying to strike a compromise between sin and righteousness. It can't be done. And he says, really, if you stop and think about it, what do you even have in common with the world? What does righteousness have in common with the world? What does God have in common with whatever other gods you want to chase after? He says, nothing. God's calling you to step completely away from those things and just be with God, right? So when we talk about holiness, it's because God's calling us to it. He wants us for it. He wants it for us. Well, both, I guess. And it's what's good for us. And when we don't do it, we're just defying God, right? When we're not seeking after sanctification, and this is not a work that we do. I'm going to get to that. in case Dave's over here grinding his teeth, but, right, and because we just can't exist in a state of sin as a believer, we need to be moving into righteousness. And then let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 12 to 14. He says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. God's calling us to it. He's calling us to obedience. He's calling us in holiness to draw close to him. Right? And it is in that state. And so when we're saved or when we're justified, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And we're cleansed in that moment. And it requires nothing else from us to be saved. And in that moment, we are made holy and righteous. And without that, we can never be saved. But it is not just a moment, right? There is not a continuing work of ours, but a continuing work of God in the life of the believer. And Dave talked about the three aspects of salvation: justification, sanctification, and glorification. And he's drawing us through those aspects. And so I would say that if you're not seeking sanctification, you're not seeking holiness, how are you progressing through your Christian life? It's not about works, and I even have that on here, right? Holy, down in section 3, subsection B, holiness is not about following the law. But holiness is about seeing God and being in his presence. Okay, so why is holiness important? Because God says it's important. Because that's what God wants for us. Because that's what we as believers are made for, is to be righteous and to be holy. And there is no way, I believe the scripture teaches, there is no way for you to be a believer and not be progressing in righteousness. You know, like, again, not about the works that you do. We all stumble, we all fall, we all have moments of weakness. But God is pulling us to holiness through the working of his Spirit. Okay, so we talked about why holiness is important. Let's talk about what holiness is. What is it, actually? It's nice to say words like holiness and sanctification. What do they mean? So, holiness, by its very definition, is being set apart for a special purpose. It's being set apart for a special purpose. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 20 and 21. It says, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. You know, he says, in any house, right, You have the good china, and you have the toilet, right? And he says, if you are cleansed, not by your works, but by the Holy Spirit, from toilet stuff, right, then you can go on to be the good china, set apart for a special purpose. That's what it means to be holy. You're not just what everything else in the world is. You're separate. You're special. You're set apart for it. And we read that back in that first set of verses that we read, right? Set apart for a special purpose. God says, you once were not a people, but now you are my people. We've been called to be separate from the world, to be set aside for God's holy purpose. And by cleansing ourselves from what is nicely here called common use, unrighteousness, right, filth, then we're made ready to serve in a special way. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. He says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. He says, there was a time before you were saved by faith, that you hadn't received mercy, right? You just hadn't. And we talked about that with your question, Justin. Like, we were all children of Adam. We just hadn't received mercy, you know? And then we believed in Jesus Christ, and in faith we were saved through his blood, and now we've received mercy. And that's a game changer, you know? Like, that made us not what we were before, and now something else. No longer children of Adam, but children of God. And he says, now you're my people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into the light. We've been made for a purpose, which is to glorify God. Okay, and so that leads us into the second section here. So holiness is being set apart for a special purpose. And what is that special purpose? Well, holiness is being sold out to the will of God. What is the special purpose that God is calling us to? God is calling us to glorify him, to serve him, to carry out his will on earth as his special possessions. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2, he says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. He says, don't do what the world does anymore, right? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, the world will say, hey, you're the most important thing in your life, right? And I've heard people say that at my kids' schools. I mean, all kinds of places. It's a little bit ridiculous, right? But the Bible says that you are not the most important thing in your life, that you need to be willing to sacrifice yourself, your desire, your will to carry out the commands of God. This is sanctification. This is holiness, right? He says, don't conform to the world, but be transformed. You shouldn't look like the world looks. Your church shouldn't strive to look like a country club, right? You should be transformed in the image of Christ. You shouldn't look like most of the people around you anymore. And your church shouldn't look like Wawa or the movie. I'm not talking about structurally. I'm talking about spiritually. Right. Hey, if your church wants to meet in an old Wawa, I have no problem with that. But you shouldn't be consumer-minded and out to market and get money in the offering plate. You should be out to glorify God and bring salvation of souls. That's righteous. That's what God's calling us to. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. First John's actually not the first John. There's a John before 1 John, in case anyone was confused. So we're looking at 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. He says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. Harsh, right? Could be interpreted that way, but it's not. You see, here's the thing. We already know that we can never make the choice to not sin, right? I mean, that's clear. In Scripture, I mean, it's clear, just try it. Just go out and decide, I'm not going to sin anymore. And then in a week, come back and tell me what happens. Actually, let's just make it an hour. All right? You know, like, you know, my wife and I sometimes will talk about, like, you know, that's it. We're not going to fight anymore. We have decided. And that has never worked once. Right? Because it's not about what we do. Right? John is saying here that if it's about if you have the Spirit inside of you, are you a child of God or are you a child of the devil? Right? And we've been talking about being children of Adam, but really, when it comes right down to it, you're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. Right? And so what he's talking about here is not to say, you know, I believe, I have faith, oops, I made one sin and I fell into hell. Right? He's saying, are you living for righteousness or are you living for sin? You know, when he talks about going on sinning, he's talking about your life. What's the pattern of your life? What are you pointed towards? What road are you walking down? Are you walking down the nice, wide, easy road where you can swerve back and forth? You know? Or are you walking the straight and narrow? Do you have your eyes fixed on Jesus and on his righteousness? Is the Spirit the one that's leading you? And then you have the occasional stumble where you decide not to listen. Or is the devil the one who's leading you? And you might have the occasional moment where you accidentally do the right thing. You know, like the life of a Christian, someone who's being sanctified in the process of sanctification, is a life of someone who's not perfect, but who seeks righteousness, who's walking the righteous path and not the path of sin. You know? And again, when we talk about interpreting Scripture and interpreting it in the entirety of itself, we can very clearly see this is not saying one sin and the trapdoor to hell opens. It's saying righteousness is the ladder that we climb. And maybe there's ice on the rung and we slip, but we go because the Holy Spirit pulls us. Or do we just say, forget it, you know? I'm just going to swim in the toilet. I don't know why toilets are on my mind today, but... So, holiness is important because God calls us to it, to draw us into his presence. Holiness is being set apart for God's special purpose. And holiness is living out that special purpose of being set apart from the world and glorifying God. Glorifying our Father in heaven, not the devil. Okay, so how do we live holy lives? How do we live holy lives? This is the next question. And there's steps to this, right? And the first one we talked about a lot today, which is we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not by our works, not by what we do, but by faith in him alone. Right, and I even have John 3:16 there as the first one, right? We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so let's take a look at these. John 3, not 1 John, regular John. Some people might call it the Gospel of John. John 3:16 to 18 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Right? Nothing about works. If you believe, you're saved. If you don't believe, you're condemned. How do we get to a righteous life? Well, believe and be saved first. Believe and be saved first. You know, if you're sitting in here this morning and you have not, through faith, been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, you don't need to know this stuff yet. You need to know this first. Be saved by him. Let's look at Titus chapter 3. Verses 3 through 7. "At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." right? And I think if you honestly read this, this is all of us, right? At one time, we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by our passions and pleasures, evil and envious and hating and being hated. And then God showed us kindness through his son. And he saved us not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done. Because of who he is, we are saved, not because of what we have done. And now, having been justified by grace, we have become heirs with the hope of eternal life. And hope, I always like to point this out when we encounter the word hope in the scriptures, it's not a vain hope or sort of a failing hope. It's an assurance. We have the assurance of eternal life through Jesus Christ. When we talk about being sanctified, we have to understand that it's by what he has done, not by what we have done. And then let's look at Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Why are you even talking about holiness and sanctification? How have you even gained access into this portion of the blessed life? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, through faith in him. In God's mercy in sending his son, he has given us access to his kingdom. And so now we talk about what we do as believers, how we live in righteousness through Jesus Christ. And we did not talk about what we were going to talk about this morning. You know, you may all think we sat together and planned these all, but that would just mean you really don't know us. The Holy Spirit has dovetailed these messages together. So, we talk about holiness, we talk about sanctification. It's easy to get off the track and start talking about legalism and start saying, well, you know, can't say that word anymore, right? And you can't do this anymore, and you can't wear your hat in church because God can't hear you pray, right? That's what people used to say when I was a kid. So, I want to be clear that holiness is not about following the law. Holiness is not about following the law. It's about living a blessed life. Okay, so let's take a look at some scripture here. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. You might not even have to turn the page. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sins shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Holiness is not about the law and keeping the rules. Being sanctified, right? Getting away from the power of sin, like Jeff talked about when he talked about sanctification, is not about following the rules. Because you're not under the law anymore. You're under grace. God is just giving you the gift of lifting the power of sin off of you. It's not about what you do. It's about who he is. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. If you're trying to live and follow the rules, you're incompetent. Incompetent means you just can't do it, right? I am incompetent at a lot of things in this world, you know? And this is one of them, is following the law and rules of Jesus Christ. I mean, the law and rules of the law. But thank God I don't have to. God does it for me, right? The law, it says, when he says the letter, he's talking about the law, right? The written law. He says, the letter kills. What does the law do? It just kills because you can never keep it. And it says you have to keep all of this or you lose. And how's the game end every time? You lose. But the Spirit gives life. There is no game. God just says, here you go. You just say, I want that. And he says, here you go. I believe that. Here you go. Life. Life. He wants to give us life. Not because of what we do, but because of who he is. And then let's look at 1 John chapter 5. Verses 3 through 5. He says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. How do we have victory? Not by the law. We have victory by living out how God wants us to. And that's not something that we do. It's something that he does. And if it was about the law, we wouldn't have victory. He doesn't say, this is the victory that has overcome the world, keeping all the rules. He says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Faith in Jesus Christ is what saves us. Faith in Jesus Christ is what gives us victory. Faith in Jesus Christ is what leads us into holiness, into righteousness, into sanctification. Not the law, but grace. And who is it that overcomes the world? Who can actually do the law and get the prize? He says, well, I mean, who is it that overcomes the world, right? It's only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Because only Jesus could keep the law, and through Jesus we bypass it. Right? He says, I'm already at the end. Just come, you know, like when your wife's in line at the grocery store, and then you got to run and get another loaf of bread, and you come back, and she's like, I'm already here, just come on. Right? It's like Jesus pulls us right around that requirement and says, here you go, I already paid the price. I already stood in line. I already kept the law. I already did it. Here you go. Here's the prize. Here's the prize. Victory in him, not in us. So, holiness is not about the law. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's not about keeping the law. Now, it is about knowing God's word. Right, and we talked about that. We need to know God's word in order to live a righteous life, or else we don't know what any of this even means. We don't know what any of this even means. We can speculate and postulate and some other words that end in A-T-E, but we can never know the truth without this. And so let's take a look. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses verses 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How do we know what's righteous? How do we know what's the common use and what's the special purpose? The Word of God. How do we know what it even means to glorify God? The Word of God. And all of it is useful. You know, and like when Pastor Jeff's been preaching through Genesis, and he didn't skip the genealogies because they were important. And I can remember being a kid and trying to read through the Bible and getting to Deuteronomy and just like, I couldn't even handle it, you know? But it's important. There's not a word in here that doesn't have meaning for the righteous life. There's not a word of this that is not important. We can't just skip around and pick and choose, or we end up with untrue doctrine, right? We can't just pull things out. So the entire book is important. Let's look at Psalm 119. We're going to read the whole thing. Just kidding. If you don't get the joke, it's like the longest chapter in the Bible. We're looking at verses 103 to 105. It says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." How sweet is the word of God? It's better than honey, you know? It's maybe for us today, you might say it's better than ice cream or coffee or cheesesteaks or whatever your particular weakness is. You know, the word of God is better than all of that. It's the bread, it's the food, it's the sustenance that we need. And from it, we gain understanding. By knowing this and the true righteous path, we can learn to hate the wrong paths and to stay off of them. You know, it's like a big sign that says, go this way. That way leads to death. That way leads to death. This way leads to life. It's a lamp for our feet and a light on our path. God's word is our guide in the righteous life. And so, we kind of have this last section here, and we talk about holiness, and we talk about how it's not about following the law, it's not about what we do, because it's about what God does through us. And so this last part is following the Holy Spirit. Righteousness to be achieved in our life is about letting go and letting the Holy Spirit control. That's how we follow God's commands. That's how we're holy as He calls us to. That's how we glorify Him. That's how we live a life directed at fulfilling His commands. It's because it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me, as Jeff said earlier. It's about the Holy Spirit, which is inside of us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 14 through 16. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When we talk about righteousness, about living a life set free from the power of sin, when we're talking about being able to travel on the path towards God and his glory, if we were to go out there and say this to the world, they would say that's foolish. Because to someone without the Spirit, it is. Right? It seems so unlikely, so impossible, such a lofty goal to try to attain, because on our own, it is. But when we're filled with the Spirit and it is He who is doing the work and not us, when we come to that realization, then suddenly it's not so impossible anymore. Because nothing is impossible for God. And so when we understand that nothing is impossible for God, and we understand that we, who are saved by faith and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, now are filled with the Holy Spirit, and it is He who works through us, then suddenly the impossible becomes possible. Because God does it. What does it mean to be righteous? It means to give control of your life over to God. Let's look at John chapter 14. Verses 23 to 26. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And so, right, Jesus came to save us. But he left with us the Holy Spirit, right? And we saw that happen in Acts, right? When the Spirit came upon the church. And now, to this day, the Spirit is with the believer. And Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my teaching. And if you don't love me, you won't obey my teaching. And it's not a matter of, if you love me, you'll try really hard. That's what I say to my kids, right? If you love me, you'll try really hard to take the trash out. Right? It just says you will. Right? Like, how is that possible for Jesus to say that other than the Holy Spirit? If you love me, if you have faith in me, if you're saved by my blood, you will do what I want, because the Holy Spirit will do it through you. He says the Spirit will come and will remind you of everything I have said and will teach you and will fill in your understanding and will give you greater understanding. And you will go on to live the righteous life. Let's look at John chapter 16. And again, this is Jesus speaking. "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And so when the Spirit leads, God leads, right? I mean, the Spirit is God. And the Godhead, the Father God, tells the Spirit, tell them this, tell them that. And the Spirit does. The Spirit is God dwelling within us. And Jesus says, the Spirit's going to teach you and draw you where God wants you. And when we think about a life led by the Spirit, being like God, doing what God wants, keeping his commands, not out of our own will, but out of his, then we have to consider the fact that if the Spirit, even if the Spirit only does what God, what the God the Father wants, then that's what we'd be doing. We'd be doing what God the Father wants by being led by the Spirit. He says, Jesus says he will get his words from me, his teaching, his understanding from God, and he will give it to you. What better possible leader could you have in your life than one who relays the words of God the Father? You know? You're going to let him drive the boat, or you're going to drive the boat? And then finally, and when I say finally, I don't mean this is all the scripture that deals with this, and then after this you're going to just close the Bible and walk away. I mean to say finally for today, because I just couldn't fit anymore. I'm going to look at Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read a good chunk of this from verse 16 to verse 26. And I've been trying to just let the Bible teach here. And I just want to wind it up with this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And that's a long list. But if the Spirit is leading your life, you don't need to sit here and have a check mark of all the things you're doing right and all the things you're doing wrong. The Spirit will do the fruits of the Spirit. And if you are controlling your life, you will do the fruits of the flesh. And that is some rotten fruit. So what we want to, I just want to close up by saying that holiness is not optional in the life of the Christian. It is imperative. It is the not the exception, it is the standard for who we are. And it is not because of what we do, because of what the Spirit does through us. Let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you once again for your word, Lord. I thank you for truth and for wisdom. And I thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray this morning that we would always be led by you. that God, we would not turn our eyes away, but we would be fixed, Lord, that we would know we are saved by faith, that God, your word is so beautiful, is so delicious to us, is so useful for teaching and for understanding, God, that we would love it and hold it and keep it close to us. And God, I just pray that you would help us to realize we are inadequate to the task, but you are more than enough. And that, God, we have you in us to carry the load so that we don't have to. Love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck.
Is Jules around? Hey, do you mind doing one more song? Hey, we'll close with a song. You guys can all stand. And we're going to just do this one last song, Lord, I Need You. And it's really just a song about everything we talked about today. Every moment, every minute, every hour, what we really need is the Lord. What we need is him to be guiding us and leading us. And there's this one line in the second verse we'll get to, and it says, holiness is Christ in me. That's what it says. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. And then he goes on to say, holiness is Christ in me, because that's really what holiness is all about. Just what Chuck said, it's all about Jesus having his way in our lives and through us. Lord, I come, I confess.
Lord, I come, I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. It's without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart.
Lord, I need you.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Where sin runs deep, your grace is more.
Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
Let's sing it again. Where you are.
And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. And Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
So teach my song to rise to you.
So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
When I cannot stand,
and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. And Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Lord, I need you. Sing it out.
And Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Let's just hear the voices. Lord, I need you. And Lord, I need you. Oh, we need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
So Lord, I just pray a blessing over each and every person here, Lord, and just ask us, Lord, ask you, Lord, that you would just bless us and help us to be able to go out and live the life that you've called us to. Lord, we want to represent you well everywhere we go. Lord, would you just have your way in our lives? In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hey, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Back same time, same place. Say hi to three people you haven't said hi to before you leave.